Go and welcome to Shotgun the Orcs. For any new listeners, we are a hip-hop podcast based from the UK where we discuss and break down our favourite genre of music coming out of the UK, the US and everywhere in between. We also interview up-and-coming artists and more established pioneers within the genre. This is your host Tom, although unfortunately, as I was unable to join this week's discussion, I'll leave you in the capable hands of my co-hosts Rob, Ellie and Mick, with a special guest appearance from rapper Zanny Dyer. In this episode, the gang discuss drumless beats, Action Bronson's Tiny Desk, Eminem versus The Game and Melly Mel, questionable behaviour at gigs, and much more. Apologies in advance for the lack of structure, but you should really know us by now. Anyways, enjoy the episode.
Right, welcome to Shotgun Orcs. My name is Rob, or Cosm, or someone. I'm joined by Mick Swagger, Ellie the Machine, and Zanny Dyer. That's it. What up? Everyone
What's
all right?
Good. What's good? Good? Shotgun the Orcs, thank you for having me on. Really appreciate it.
You're a repeat offender.
I am. I was on just before COVID hit with Bucky back in 2020.
That's it.
That was a good time, man. That was funny.
Interesting episode. I'm sure Tom wanted to jump back on, actually. I'm sure he said he did.
I remember just being bare nervous and, like, I remember leaving afterwards, getting a lift back with Bucky, and I was like, oh, man. I had so much, like, you know when your mind just draws a blank?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like about 12 minutes into that episode, I just, like, fucking... My head was in fucking like Neptune or something. Like,
I get it all the time. Like the worst one I had was when I was there, when I had my first interview on Shotgun, I was like that. But the most recent one was I interviewed Nelson Dialect and I said to him, I go, you remind me of like all these old like mid to late 90s rappers. Like you sound like, I can tell who your influences are and da da da. And he goes, oh yeah, like who? And my mind went, well, I couldn't think of nothing. I was like, oh shit. And I was on my own as well. I didn't have no one else to kind of like Ellie would have jumped in and been like, oh, you remind me of this person and this rapper that no one's ever heard of. And that would have been really handy. But I was just like, fucked.
But listen, my mind goes blank all the time. And I think that's why it's good having a team, because we can all jump in when people are. But I didn't think you did that on the Nelson Dialect one. I thought that was a lovely little interview.
It's one of them, isn't it? It's always like everything's great in hindsight. Like, what could you do? What could you
make better? Yeah. And you overanalyze yourself as well. Like, I know when I have to, once these videos go live, I'm just making sure, actually, are we recording? Yeah, we are. When these videos go get uploaded and I'm working through the snippets, by the end of it, I'm just like, I don't ever want to hear my voice or see my face ever again. You get really analytical and then you're like, oh. So, yeah.
I don't listen to the episode. After we've done it, I don't listen.
No, I know. You were like, can I help at all? And I was like, yeah, please, can you do the snippets? Yeah, I can't do that. Oh, I've got to do it again. It's so painful.
It's obviously the podcast me and Bucky did back in 2020. It was on YouTube, and then I asked Tom and that to take it down. At the time, I was just like, nah, I wasn't really feeling it. And then it was like the day before yesterday, I decided, because it's still on Spotify, obviously. Mm. I just listened to it like all the way through, like for the first time, like since it dropped. And I was like, yeah, man, that's actually kind of wild. So just give it like 3 years and you'll be able to like listen.
Yeah, I really like your episode, man. Wow. A lot of those like early ones, most of the people who were on the early ones who've been on all of them have been pretty good. But yeah, when I first like discovered the podcast, I think I just went through like 20, and then I really hassled Tom to let me go on. But yeah, in those first ones, there's definitely like, you know, you're like, okay, those guys I would like to like work with or do a gig with or hang out with and stuff. And you and Bucky were definitely like on the, like, you know, on that list. And yeah, I thought it was a really good episode.
My favorite one was fucking Prince Kong.
Yeah.
Fucking hilarious, man. After this, I'll probably listen to it again. I remember watching that and I was like, this guy's fucking creased, bruv. Like,
Is he the, so he's from Brighton, he's like Ragga Bowman's friend, isn't he?
That's it, yeah.
So is he the guy, does he say on, I know we're just talking about our own fucking podcast now, but did we, so I've heard, does he say on that episode that he was supposed to record with Dyke and then he was too drunk? I'm sure that's him, because he doesn't really like to talk more about it, but I'm sure I've heard Ocean Wisdom on Romish's podcast talk about a friend of his was too drunk to record with Dyke, and then that's why Ocean ended up recording with Dyke, like that first album, because Dyke was in Brighton. So yeah, when I heard those two different podcasts, I was like, shit, I think that's the same story.
Connect dots there, that's it.
Oh, yeah. But mate, imagine that, man, if you just got hammered and Dyke had turned up with the fucking, all those beats from that Ocean album, you just completely spooned it. Oh, mate.
That, bro, happens. That shit happens.
I was going to say, why would you get drunk? But then I kind of, that's a little segue to something we're going to talk about later. Action Bronson's Tiny Desk concert.
Mate, yeah.
You could tell it's
sick that he like admits it. Like, oh, the edibles are kicking in. It's like, bro, we could tell, man. He has that bar like, I can't even touch my toes, but I will still fuck these hoes. And then he touches my toes now. Touches his toes. Round of applause. Everyone like throwing roses at him. Fucking that man's deserved.
I taught that line to one of the kids I work with at school, and he kept on saying it at school.
What's that?
I'm a teacher, innit? And I taught him that line because it's a funny joke, and he just kept around. He kept walking around saying it. But it's one of them things.
You're an art teacher, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. It should be. Yeah, it's fine. It's all right. It's good fun. But yeah, the Bronson thing was good, man. It was wicked. Do you know what? Like, it's. I reckon it was fine that he was fucked on it. To be fair, like, I don't think you can't have a concert like that or a performance like that that's that intimate and not be yourself. Do you know what I mean? It'd be if he was rigid and just rapping, you'd be kind of you're not buying into anything. Do you know what I mean? Like when you watch him on like Fuck That's Delicious, or if you hear an interview, that's him. So that, but you got that in person. Do you know what I mean? So I think.
Did you think Cypress Hill seemed a bit rigid?
I only watched bits of it. It's all right.
But I feel like I guess Bronson's like not done his songs for like 40 years.
Yeah.
So like, they're still. So
they
like, hey. Huh?
They're getting on a bit, aren't they? So, I mean, like, when you spat the same fucking verse for, like, 20 years.
20?
Wow. Yeah.
30 years.
Yeah. Like, I never passed maths, bro. You're not a maths are you?
I can teach maths, it's fine.
Loves a bit of Pythagoras.
Use my hands in that.
But, yeah, I mean, if you are going to be rapping at things for years, it's... I don't know. Are you
It just comes so like you almost like go like into like some sort of robot mode or something. I mean, like, how am I? What am I saying, bro? Speaking for people that have been rapping for 30 years, I've been rapping for like fucking.
But like, is it?
Couple like, years.
Do you remember that award? I can't remember what award show it was or when it was, but Andre 3000. They won an award, and then they went up to perform, and he kind of went into the microphone and he was like, and for the 3000th time, hey, everybody. And he looks so like, I'll vomit if I have to do this again. And that's one song. Can you imagine if it's like this, you know, all the songs, all the years, after a while, it's like, how can I deliver this in a new, fresh kind of way? But the Action Bronson thing, like I'd seen headlines before I'd watched it, and I thought that the edibles comment was like a speculation. And as I'm watching it, I was like, well, maybe he's just a bit loose and he's just really feeling like the saxophone solos, and he's just like really in his moment. And then he starts fucking up and he's like, yeah, the edibles just hit. And I just love that. He calls himself out. He's completely authentic. He's very comfortable in being himself and vulnerable and admitting that he's shy when he's singing and just vibing out, man. I loved it. Yeah. It was great.
And like also with that, like, you like the mic is just there, isn't it? Like, like still, and he was just like swaying about. I think that's just how, like, obviously he's feeling the music. He's obviously going to be moving about, so he's not going to be right by the microphone the whole time.
Because you could hear it,
catching the vibe, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
he was just enjoying it just as much as any of us watching it. You know,
yeah,
like, it's so thick to perform with like live instruments. I've only just started doing that recently at like open mics and stuff, and people just like jamming, playing the guitar, and they're like, yeah, if anyone wants to come up and sing or do whatever, then jump on. And I'm like, yeah, fuck it, and I'll just spray a 16 over a fucking guitar, and it's like a newfound it's different. It feels like more organic in a way, rather than just an instrumental playing in the background. And you know, obviously I fucking love that, that's my bread and butter, you get me? Like, so, but at the same time, just having someone be live next to you while you're rapping live, just like, I don't know, there's another,
it's like another different level.
Traveling the world, man. I want to be like rapping with like live instruments and shit. I will keep on grinding until I get a tiny desk concert and a Nardwuar interview, and then I can retire.
Nardwuar and a tiny desk. Come on, that's levels.
Nardwuar telling me about my fucking year one like teaching assistant.
Will you do the doot doot doot?
Yeah.
Come on.
Doot. I said I fucked it. Do that again. We'll edit that out.
That's a job for Mick. Will you edit it out, Mick?
No, I'm just staying there.
So if you were interviewed by Nardwuar, would you do the doot 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 doot?
Doot doot.
Yes.
I'll go West Side Gun. I'll be like doot 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 doot. But like 404 times, it would be like really, really jarring for him. I'd be the first person to that he interviews that weirds him out rather than him weirding them out.
I don't think you can. I don't think you can weird him out.
I don't think you can.
He's mad.
I think he's just unfazed. It's just like
in like back in the 90s when he was like sort of starting out and shit. He had this rule where he had like some sort of party going on, and you could only enter if you let him sniff your hand. The guy's fucking mad, yeah. I'd love to meet him. I'd love for him to just fucking find out life story and shit.
That's the first thing I've heard about Nardwuar that I'm a bit uncomfortable about. Like, initially, weird, right? Like, I'd let him sniff my hand, but then I'm like, is this the beginning of like normalizing some weird dark fetish? Is Nardwuar about to get outed? Please don't let that be, because I love him.
I think that happened before I was fucking born, mate. Like a little while ago. I don't know. Maybe it's just folklore. Like it could just be a lie, innit? But I wouldn't put it past him.
As long as it goes no further than hand sniffing, it's all good.
90s, isn't it? That's what happens, I suppose. Hand sniffing. Weird stuff happened in the 90s.
But yeah, like going back to the Action Bronson thing, I know like us in the Shotgun chat talk a lot about, it's like a point of contention with like drumless beats and that kind of thing. And I must say, hearing his Tiny Desk concert with a live band really did like elevate the format of it, and the sound of it really elevated it. Like I found I enjoyed it so much more, and I'd happily pay money to go and watch it in that format, like him perform in that setting and that setup.
Yeah.
I found it more like, I love Action Bronson, but I do sometimes struggle with drumless beats. And
oh really?
That, yeah, I'm getting better with it. I think it just kind of fucks with the way I listen to music. It kind of messes with it a little bit. I can't quite work it out and like formulate it in my head. But this, I think with a live band, it just makes it make sense.
Yeah, I think drumless beats, the rapper needs to really captivate you in it, because like he's like, obviously the flow is it stands out a lot more when there's no drums, so the flow's got to work with like some fucking like little loop and whatnot. And so, but like, yeah, like the lyrics, they've got to captivate you know, you got to like say something that people are going to really listen to, and spit a flow that really is going to work. Like, it's impressive. It's more impressive to rap over something that's drum, like, without any drums than...
For sure.
You become part of the rhythm section within a band, I think, like, because, like you said, the drums are missing, you have to kick them flows, innit? So you're generating the almost a rhythm to it, whether it's your end of bar multis or whatever you're doing, like, you become that. You're taking it on a journey as opposed to the drum that's kind of, you know, mapping it out for you. So you map it out.
Almost, really. Like, you can really branch out and shit. Fucking, I was going to say something, and I lost my trail of thought. That's going to happen a lot on this episode. I'm going to forget where the fuck, what, like, who are you people?
Log out.
Chuck on the orc. You'll remember in half an hour. It will hit you, and then we'll go back.
And that soup kicks in.
Yeah.
A little bit. But it's weird, though, isn't it? I suppose, like, you couldn't do like a whole show of drumless beats because it would lack impact. Because this is not something that, like, this doesn't relate to hip hop, right? But I was somewhere the other day, I went to like a little day festival and they had an orchestra doing Ibiza songs, right? And it was sick. It was wicked, right? All big stage and that was sick. But you know, like how dance music has that big kick and the layered snare, boom, boom, boom. It didn't have that. It had like a drum, but you couldn't hear it, and so it detracted from the whole music because that shake, that rhythm wasn't there. And it was like, yeah, this is cool, but it's not fully it.
Crowd ain't gonna be bopping, is it? Because there's no, the crowd.
So imagine if Rock Marciano or whoever the fuck else, drumless beats, did a whole set of drumless beats, would you be sat there a bit, I don't know,
aloof? Yeah. I mean, like, fucking listening to, like, hip-hop, I would love to, like, Earl Sweatshirt done, like, a little five-minute thing with, like, a live band on some American fucking talk show. And that was sick, man. Like, hearing, like, a version of the song, which is clearly, like, produced on a fucking computer, like, on some, like, music software. And then hearing it being brought to life with, like, a real band and stuff, like, it gives it a whole new perspective. It's like listening to it, or, like, brand new again. Mm-hmm. But you're still familiar with what he's saying. And it's like... the lyrics would stand out more. Like, yeah, I just think rapping over live instruments in a band and stuff, like, that is cool as fuck, and I would love to do that at some point in my life. For now,
I wanted to do it for like 20 years, but
make it happen. We need to get like a little shotgun live band.
Have you seen those bands? They like keep cropping up on Instagram where it's like four or five mateys playing like famous hip hop instrumentals.
Yeah,
really cool. Yeah,
there's a really good this like Canadian group who did like a Nicholas Craven medley. It's about 20 minutes long, but they do I think they did Criminals like the last one, and they get a guy to come in and like sing the hook. But yeah, it's like guy on the keyboards, like guitar, bass, and drums. But yeah, it's fucking so good. But the way they're doing, like, you know, because obviously Craven's, most of them are like drumless beats. So they're doing like, just the loop, basically, like for like 16 bars. It's really good.
I think that's maybe the trick. Like, if you've got loads of like drumless material, so I've seen Action Bronson live twice. I can never remember where I saw him. The first time round, it was like bangers. The crowd was going nuts. And
in London, when he fucked off out the crowd and walked down the road.
No, I think it was another night. He walked. It was where was it? It was somewhere in North London, and he walked. He got off the stage and he did, as he's rapping, he's doing a loop of the entire theatre. He's in the crowd. He's throwing his clothes into the crowd. It was incredible. And then the second time I saw him was at Brixton.
Electric?
Yes. And he It was all the drummer stuff, but we got there late. And what happened, I think, was they just piled everyone downstairs. And we were upstairs, and upstairs was empty. So already it wasn't a vibe. And downstairs was apparently lively as fuck. People were passing out. It was crazy. But it was a lot of his drumless newer material. And upstairs, not in that vibe. It was just a bit kind of like, oh. But I think if he'd have done it with live instrumentation, it would have been a different thing altogether, being upstairs. But yeah, like downstairs did look lively, so I can't completely write off that whole gig, because it did look fun and it was a bit heartbreaking, but I'm over it now, kind of.
That's sick. Steve Bronson live, man. He's one of the, like, he's in the top five, like, rappers that I want to see live, man.
Sure. I think he's just a real musician with it as well. Like, even the way he like uses his voice, it's almost like a jazz instrument or a jazz singer. Like his timing, the space that he uses, the delay that he uses before he comes in with his bars, he's next level. He really is.
Hilarious, man. Like, he says some funny shit, bro. Like, that tune, I think it's called 91, it says, they say Bronson disappeared like the AIDS from Magic Johnson's dick. Like, what a fucking opening bar, bro. Like, he's got some funny fucking bars. Like, fucking Irishman freestyle, it's like, what was it, like, plastic, like, fake rice from China, staring in the mirror like I hate my vagina. that shit makes me, like, when I'm listening to rap, like, hip-hop, grime, anything, I've noticed, like, from young, like, I've always gravitated towards the people saying something funny, saying something that makes me go, like, yo, that's mad, like, and that's what I've always been trying to do, like, trying to get the fucking crowd to, like, just giggle, bro. Like, it's almost like stand-up comedy, you know what I mean? Like, but you're rhyming and there's a beat in the background. It's just like, I just love that funny shit. But then there's a limit, you know? Like, there's a fine line between being like comical and just being corny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who's that fucking rapper? A lot of the American funny ones, they're corny. I feel like it's British hip hop, because what was it? Stephen Fry said, the comedian slash fucking, I don't know, clever guy, QI motherfucker. He said that, like, the difference between UK and US comedy is that, like, American comedy, they take the piss out of other people, whereas with British comedy, they take the piss out of themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's, I feel like it just works, innit? It just makes it, I don't know. That's just the thing that I go by, innit? I just think that's what it is. And if you listen to UK hip hop, like, people saying the funny shit, like, people saying the mad shit, like, that's it. More time they're just, like, fucking saying, taking the piss out of themselves, you know what I mean? Like, but, like, unapologetically, and, like, saying it as if it's cool, into a point that it becomes actually genuinely cool, like,
mm-hmm.
You can just take the piss in it, just have a laugh, man.
Like, so you take laughter over, like, lyricism almost. But even though I'm saying Punch is a fucking mad lyricism, to be honest, I've noticed there's someone that I know that I'll rap with, and I'll do like a whole verse and it'll be really intricate, and then he'll say one joke and everyone remembers his verse.
Yeah.
Even when I produce the beat.
Oh, those lyrics, man.
Producers don't get enough love, man. Hold tight, Joe King, bro. That's my producer right there. Like,
he's good.
Good, bro. Like, he just understood what I wanted to hear, man. And yeah, he comes correct each and every fucking time, man. He does not fuck around. Yeah, he's sick, bro. He's It's like a mixture of, like, the Griselda sort of beats and Jack Dan's sort of beat. That gloomy, slow shit, that, like, fucking, oh, I just popped a Xan and it's laced with fentanyl type beat, you know, like, sort of shit that he creates. And that's the sort of shit that I'm on, like, I want to be rapping over that slow, mongy shit. When you rap over 70 BPM, I'm borderline just fucking talking, innit? So when I'm performing live, or if you're listening to my tunes or whatever, like, unless you're like, if you're listening, because you can, you know, it's not for everyone. I understand that people want like someone to fucking bop their head to and bounce to and shit, rather than just like slump out to. I understand that, but like, if you're listening, you're actually going to be listening to the bars as well, because on a slower beat, I feel like you've got to come more correct with the lyrics, like all that fast rap, like ibbity get all that shit. Like, you can really just chuck in so many fucking filler bars.
I think that's played out, to be honest. There's only a few people that can do it well, and I think a lot of people heard Ocean Wisdom or Harry Shotter and thought, I can do that, and
they can't.
Ovid create a lot of them motherfuckers, man.
Well, no, we had the Shotgun the Bars thing, and it was like one of the beats was slower, like it was, I can't remember what beat it was, but and some weren't even that fucking slow, and you had all these geezers coming on like double time. I'm like, that was unnecessary. I can understand you, but the people can't understand you. Who are you doing that
I
for?
Think that Tommy Walton was the best at that. I think he was definitely like the exception, because he was like real good lyrics, real precise.
He had a good swing and delivery with it. He would like,
yeah, he's like real musicality with it.
Yeah. But the other people were just like hammering it like it was a sprint. You know what I mean? Or something.
It's the same thing with syllables or like long words. Sometimes people think like rapping, you need to come through like you're a thesaurus, and you don't. So I get so much shit that's sent to me. I say shit, sorry. I mean that in like a, not a, oh, it's shit.
Maybe. No, you don't. You mean that it's shit.
No, I actually didn't, but actually when I thought about it, I was like, and it's like, don't try and get too many like multiple syllable words in there just because they rhyme. It's obvious that you've just picked these words and strung them together to link one word to another. Don't do that.
No. Shopping list, honestly, like a shopping, yeah, like if you're rhyming a fucking bare fucking like five syllable words, like the majority of those words end in like
shun.
So you're only actually rhyming one syllable out of the fucking five syllable word.
bad rappers will do that.
Whereas you can fucking rap and just say like one syllable words, but as long as on the next bar, the majority of those words rhyme, the cadences come out, like you can still jam to it, and it's easier to digest as well, rather than coming off like a fucking, like.
And if get my Oxford Dictionary out just to figure out what you just said, because I don't know what that word means. Or
hit me up when you chop and screw that shit, because I don't have a fucking clue what you're saying. The only exception I'd say is Ono Capono. I just think that shit's just bare psychedelic, and that he's in his own bag. I think he's an anomaly in that sense, where he'll say some shit, and like on the faster beats, like the 95, like Memphis vibe sort of sound. I fucking love that shit. Like, and I'll be honest with you, like that's like, I don't really listen to 90s hip hop. The only 90s hip hop I listen to is that like Memphis, Tommy Wright the Third sort of shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, but that's just me. Like, I think that cowbells. I just want to hear bare cowbells. That's it,
mate. I've wanted to rap on that shit for time. I've wanted to rap on that.
Yeah.
But I
want to hear you on some cowbells,
bro. I want it. Like, I've been trying to do it. There's a producer that I've been following. I can't remember his fucking name. He's on YouTube. I'll give him to you later, right? He's heavy. He makes funk, innit? That's what it's called, funk, right? It's like Memphis funk.
Yeah.
Hard as fuck. I've wanted to rap on it for a bit. And to be honest, me and Merkers did an EP, and three or four of the beats are like that. But he never releases it. He's a prick. So fuck Merkers.
Yeah, I'll hear that when I'm fucking, like, I'll hear that in like 2027, bruv.
Yeah, exactly.
Played out.
I've been, mate, like, me and you, Cosmo, man, we've been borderline just fucking, just cyberbullying him for that fucking album, bruv. Like, I had like some mad fucking weekend, bro. Like, he sent me the beat like a couple days after like some mad shit went on in my life, and I wrote it, and it was like, it was on like a 140 sort of beat, which is like something I don't really often do, but it just spilled out of me so naturally. I wrote it in like the it more or less the same amount of time that I'd done it. Like I fucking typed it down. I didn't pen it down. Shit, new notes app and that. Fucking, but yeah, I wrote that in about the same amount of time it took me to spit, bro. Like it just fucking flowed straight out of me, and I was like, I feel like that is like the best when you make, at least for yourself as an artist, like that's when you are most happy with work, when it fucking, when you've made it, like you're not like forcing yourself to write, or you're not like piecing together different bars and stuff from other little things that you've written down and stuff. Like, it all just flows out. I laid it down, and I was like, yo, and this was like August 2021, so fuck me, it's like 2 years ago, bro. Like I'm just gonna fucking screen record that fucking verse and upload it to SoundCloud or some shit. Like, favorite verses. And but when it comes out, I'm gonna be so gassed, man. Big up Merkers still. You know what, yeah, like Merkers, I said to him as well, like, because he hates everyone.
That ain't me, he's like my little brother, isn't it? It's funny as fuck.
The fact that he fucks with me, man, like that's pretty cool. Like, he hates everyone bar me and like three other people, bruv. Like, it's nice. It needs more in it. Like, he's like an, he's a no man. He's not a yes man. I don't fuck with yes men, bro. Fuck that. He's a no man. So when a no man comes and says, like, actually, yeah, you know what? Yeah. Actually, fuck with what you're doing. It means so much more than like just some guy being like, yo, you're sick. And then.
Yeah. I feel you.
It doesn't dish out the compliments. Left, right, and centre. So we know it means something.
I respect that. He's real like that, you know.
It's funny stories of him. There's lots and lots of funny stories of him.
For the podcast, bro.
He's nuts. He's funny. He's a funny guy.
Get him on. If he's a no man, he ain't gonna come on, is he?
You meet him one day, probably in Bournemouth, I think.
Fucking podcast.
Be the fucking oddcast.
That's what this is already.
Let me go grab my phone charger quick.
This is where you can pause it, mate. Fuck's sake.
Leave that in, Mick. Fuck that in. Leave that shit in, mate.
Leave it in. It adds to the authenticity. Has anyone heard the Tupac and DMX AI track?
No, but I do think it's a load of bollocks. So, like, I heard, like, what do you call it? A Snoop one, like him rapping over some shit. Someone might have to help me out with this. They AI'd his voice and he did something else. Or someone did a Kanye song. Someone showed me a Kanye AI song and it was like...
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
That's fucking bare disrespectful, man. I fucking hate. That's disgusting. Nah, I do not condone that shit, man.
Even like the posthumous. I think some like even like all the posthumous releases of people's stuff, I think is a bit like. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I mean,
interesting because you don't have like. There's reasons why that music didn't come out in the first place. Loads of artists will tell you see about this much of their catalogue because it comes out. The rest of it is just written, chucked away. And if you're super prolific with your pen or your production, then you're going to have fucking loads backed up. So, like, who's really making the money? As long as the money's going in the right place, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's okay. But I think sometimes the posthumous stuff can be a bit... Like Biggie's album, When He Died. Like the one not Life After Death, that was the Born Again one.
Yeah, with all the sort of artists that weren't current when he was alive. I hated that album.
Like he was rapping with like that Dead Wrong tune with Biggie. Like with Eminem, was it? Was it Eminem?
Yeah.
Immediate dislike.
I didn't like that.
You could tell it was just mashed together. Like,
yeah,
you just know it's authentic. Nah, that's just pure disrespect. But on the other hand, certain rappers, I mentioned this earlier, like Mac Miller and that. Like, I was in like a Mac Miller forum and got my hands on like bare fucking unreleased Mac Miller tunes, which are incredible. Like, it is the thing with, sorry if I'm gonna go off on a tangent. Thing with Mac Miller, yeah, he made a lot of shit music, like some music like, you know, that Donald Trump tune. Like, I was 12 when that came out, so I liked it when I was 12. I can't listen to any of the shit he'd done back then. But he was really in his bag in 2013 to like the 2013 and 2014 era of Mac Miller is my favorite. And then the one that he released just before Swimming. Yeah, that's a great album. But then Circles, like, I wasn't a massive fan of it, but. Okay. That's because, like I said earlier, like, I like the funny lyrics and stuff, like, and it felt a little bit like a cash cow because he's dead. We're gonna drop all of his fucking sad songs, like,
yeah,
like when Faces, which was a mixtape that he released in 2014 on like Datpiff, rest in peace Datpiff, by the way, and like SoundCloud and stuff. That was a great mixtape. They officially released it on Spotify, they had a bonus track, which was it did not, like, you guys can go listen to it. Yeah, the bonus track on the Faces album by Mac Miller does not fit the sound of that. I had it on my phone. It's on my Google Drive or some shit. And I listened to it and I was like, nah, I don't really like this. Because he's just like, when you listen to the tune, you know what I mean. Like, he's basically just singing about, like, oh, when I'm dead, when I die, I don't know, I'm making it up. But, like, that's essentially what he's saying. It's like, fucking hell, he's dead. Like, you're literally milking. Like, it's like, bro, that's just disrespectful, man. But I know that the money is going towards his family, which is nice.
Yeah, there's...
Lil Peep and fucking XXXTentacion making a tune together after they both died, and it was like a pop song. From what I know, I don't really like. I'm not a fan of either of the two of them, but
it's pandering to that demographic. Like, I obviously that's not my music, right? But at the time they were popping, and the time they died, I was doing youth work and stuff, and. That was like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe something like that. But you can see the type of kids, they're kind of like into that kind of music. So they've just chucked those two people together to draw everyone in to try and make money out of it. Like,
fucking disgraceful. It doesn't make no sense for them two to be on a tune, bro.
But that's the same thing with an Eminem and a Biggie song.
Yeah.
I found that whole album like mad uncomfortable because I'm like, this isn't the music he'd release if he was still here. And a little bit with the Mac Miller thing as well, like, I was kind of torn about it because I know his family are super protective over his estate, what's released, all of that kind of thing. And it's like, but you're allowing this album to go through with just like snippets of recordings that he kind of like, all like, it was like half thought out ideas of tracks, and they'd all like stitched it together, and it was quite disappointing. But the Swimming album, I think that album was incredible because I found like he had really kind of come into his own, and he was comfortable and confident in doing something that wasn't necessarily expected, but it was him and it was authentic to him. And you could just see the few times he performed that material before he passed away pretty soon after that, like, he was in his element. But also like with him, I think it was sad that he passed away just after he had released a body of work that he was so proud of. And then to get the most recent album come out, I kind of feel like it just,
Swimming and Circles is meant to like sort of join together. Like, I think The last chord on Circles is the same as the first chord on Swimming. So it's like Swimming in Circles. And he had like a third project that was meant to also have something to do with it. So he had some shit. I'll tell you something kind of morbid and that, like, when I got that fucking pack of fucking tunes, unreleased Mac Miller tunes, there was one tune that literally just sounded like just a fucking drum loop for like 45 seconds. It's like, why have I got access to hear this, bro? Like, this is definitely something that he was just working on. Like, obviously, you know, like Mick, Cosm, you producers, like, I bet you got heaps of fucking projects which are just like drum loops, and then you fucking, you know, they get buried away, you forget all about them. And me having access to hear that, I was like, oh, that's kind of made me feel a bit uncomfortable, you know, like, that's a bit mad. But it's the internet, bro. It's the internet. 404, man. 404. The internet's fault, bro.
The internet's fault. It's fucked. It is a bit fucked.
It's 404 era, man. I've got a fucking phone right in front of me, bro. I've got a lot of knowledge I could go and take, but I just, like, there's pros and cons to this shit. Screen age. We're living in the screen age. 404. Yeah.
Wow, cheers to that.
Screen. Look in the Black Mirror.
Yeah, man. Yeah, 404, bro.
But yeah, the AI thing, it's not a thing. I don't think it'll ever be a thing. I think it'll be a thing in EDM and stuff like that. But even the people that make that music will pull back from it. I don't think vocally, it's like deep faking anyone do anything.
I saw this thing that Will I Am, it was like a snippet of a Will I Am interview, probably even, I think as recent as yesterday. And he was like, you know, Nike owns the swoosh. There are so many, like, but then why can Nike own a swoosh and Drake or Biggie's family or whoever not own the rights to their own voice, their face, their likeness, their essence? That's kind of like fucked when you think about it. But this Tupac and DMX track, it goes back to the AI episode that we had with Fax and Tom, where we were like, it's going to get to a point where it doesn't sound like AI. And this track didn't. Almost to the point it kind of like fucked with the timeline. You felt like you were listening to unreleased material. Not unreleased like we were talking about the Mac Miller with drum loops. It was like finished material that never got released before they passed away. And there's a bit at the end of this track where Pac's talking about, oh, you know, everyone still listening to me now, I've gone. And
that's fucked.
I know. And for a minute, I was like, this is sick. This sounds so good. And then I kind of thought, well, actually, hang on a minute, this isn't them. And then
break out the matrix. Like,
yeah, it's like, whoa, hang on, what am I listening to? I feel really uncomfortable with this. You know, should this, you know, is this appropriate?
That's disgusting, bro, honestly.
Yeah.
That shit makes me angry, man. That's mad.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, your era of rappers that you, like, were under was, like, Action Bronson and Mac Miller. Who else would you put in that bracket?
So, Odd Future, like, I was a real Odd Future kidder when I was, like, 13, 14.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking... yeah, Tyler the Creator being the first person to tell me to be myself and it not sound corny. And so, yeah. Earl Sweatshirt, massive fan of Earl Sweatshirt. Love that guy. Fucking everything. Like, I even love that tune East. You know the tune East? The one that sounds like just like B-Tech accordion by Mad Villain almost. Like, that fucking real, like, never mind. Yeah, who else? So I was listening to Eminem.
There's a reason why I'm asking the question. I'm trying to bring it back around, but yeah, cool, carry on.
So 90s Eminem, strictly 90s Eminem, like 1997 Eminem freestyles, hilarious, so funny. anything after the 2000s, I don't want to know about it, bruv. Like, I'm not 12 anymore. That shit sounds so fucking...
What's the album that lost you?
I just grew out of it, mate.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so the only, like... There's, like, two, maybe three songs on the Slim Shady LP that I would listen to. Come On Everybody, fucking Just Don't Give a Fuck, and Role Model.
Yeah.
They still hold their weight. All the others, like, I've not really got time for it. The Slim Shady EP is good. But it's like all the freestyles and shit, all the stuff, like, he's just saying, he was just the first, I don't know. Obviously, Slick Rick is he's the GOAT, man. He's amazing. Because I think he was the first rapper to ever say funny stuff, really. The great adventures of Slick Rick, man. Like, fucking.
Did you see Slick Rick's chain at the Mass Appeal 50th live?
No, but I bet that shit was heavy as fuck. Like,
it was, you know, one of them twisted gold chains. The ropes. It was like that thick. And then it had a dog tag, a diamond encrusted dog tag that was literally his entire, it was like a breastplate. It was how he stood up and performed with that thing hanging around his neck.
Yeah. Oh, is that? I don't think I can see that.
Whoa.
Oh, no. I don't know how to get the camera. It's massive. It looks like
it's got Africa encrusted in diamonds over it.
It's like an A4 bit of paper.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous, but.
He loves that shit, man.
Yeah.
Slick Rick, man, living legend, man. Honestly, like, one of my he's in the top five easily, bro. Easily. Rappers I was listening to when I was younger, fucking like grime MCs like Devil Man and Sox, because they just said funny stuff. Mac Miller, Action Bronson, L Sweatshirt, Tyler the Creator, fucking, I'm gonna miss out a lot of fucking people that, like, Chance the Rapper.
Yeah.
His last, like, couple albums, shit. But the fucking the like SoundCloud era of Chance the Rapper, 10 Day and Acid Rap, great. They're beautiful. Yeah.
People, the reason like why that, I asked, right?
They were the people I was listening to when I was like really.
Young.
Become it, like, really realizing that I want to go down this avenue and start rapping and stuff, like.
So the reason why I'm asking is because there was, like, when we was younger, right, there was like a compilation and it was produced by Muggs and it was called Soul Assassins, right? And they're dropping a new one, they're dropping the third installment of it, right? And they had on the first one, they had all the rappers that I wanted to hear ever, like, from, like, in 97. Yeah, I had it, right? And like, and all the rappers you wanted to hear from that era, like, you had like Cypress Hill, it had Wu-Tang, it had like Goody Mob was on there, MC8 was on there, Deep. Like Mob Deep was on there. Like, it's a mad album, and if you listen to it from start to finish, it's like a movie. Like, it's like an apocalyptic movie. It's fucked. Like, the whole thing is like a mad.
There's like a narrative to it, yeah.
It's mental, right? But the thing is, right, is that for years I've been sitting there thinking, when are you going to get a third one? The second one was okay, and it came along early 2000s, and it was all right. But, like, I almost played, like, fantasy football with it. Do you know what I mean? Thinking, if there was another Soul Assassin album, who would be on the album?
Okay. Right?
And now he's doing one. I've got the track list here, but I don't know. He's got, like, people like Boldy James on it.
That was going to be one of my questions, because on the playlist that I dropped this week, was it this week? Was it Monday? It was Monday.
Huh?
One of the tracks on there is a Muggs and CeeLo Green track called Joker Wild. That is going to be, because CeeLo Green has been on all the Soul Assassins albums. And basically, I didn't realise that was like part of the announcement. That was the first single. One of my questions was going to be, who's going to be, who do we think will be featured? I didn't realize the track list had come out.
Yeah, the track list has come out, yeah.
Yes. Boldy James is sick.
Yeah.
Anything, if The Alchemist is working with you, you're 100%. Sick, just automatically. Alchemist.
And to be fair, the track list here that with the names of the people that are on it reflects who I would put on it. There's a couple missing maybe, but there are people on, like, do you know what I mean? They've got, like I said, they've got Rock Marciano, Ghostface, Rome Streets, Mayhem Loren, CeeLo, like you said, Freddie Gibbs. And thing is, he's brought back like old names from like an older generation as well, like, you know, like Ghostface, they've got Scarface. They've got MC Ren and Ice Cube on there. They got Slick Rick and Method Man on a tune together.
Way.
Ooh. Yeah, so like it's
Slick Rick and Method Man on the same track.
On the same tune.
Come on.
Wow. So like this is the thing. This is like this has been that fantasy football league moment in hip hop moment in my head that's not happened for years.
Do you know the CeeLo Green track that came out? I didn't realise that track was Muggs found that beat on a cassette and he digitised it and uploaded it. And CeeLo heard it and was like, send it to me, I'm going to record on it. And I don't know if that was the beginning of this album or if just, yeah. So it's I kind of thought it was a new beat completely, new, you know, them linking up, doing a new thing. But it wasn't. It was an old beat and he's just kept it as it was. And
cool.
Yeah.
That's the maddest thing. Sometimes the old things, they still
work.
It might not sound good at the time. But then later, they get greater later almost. Because
someone like Muggs as well, you know, like that speaks to how your mind works and how forward thinking you are and what an innovator you are as far as creating music. You don't kind of follow trends, you do your own thing and then things become timeless.
That's very important.
But yeah, man, I'm proper gassed for that project. It'd be sick, honestly.
And it's next week, isn't it?
Huh?
Next week it releases, 24th of August?
25th.
We ain't got long.
Nah. But yeah, it's
the stuff. A couple joints on that, man. Fucking Baldy James is sick. Freddie Gibbs is sick.
Mayhem Loren, he's one of my favourites.
Yeah, he's good as well, man.
He cracks me up because obviously you can see his journey within his music. And like, he's not all. At the start, he wasn't the tightest rapper. He wasn't. His bars were good. Like you could hear what he was doing. Mm. He wasn't the tightest rapper, and he's just gone bang. It's almost like he's seen what Bronson was doing at the same time as what he was doing, and it just kind of fed him and just let him. And now he's doing, you know, multiple albums and Muggs, like, and doing Harry Fraud shit, and it's just like.
I just find him so funny as well. Have you seen any of his YouTube? What are they? I've had a few conversations with him about his air fryer before.
You're lying.
No, I'm not.
You're speaking of Mayhem Loren about an air fryer.
Me and Mayhem Loren have had conversations about his air fryer. He loves his air fryer. But he's just like, that program he did in lockdown, that little YouTube series of him in his kitchen where he just pulls out of his fridge and cooks. He's just so funny with it.
Why haven't you gotten this into, like, shotgun the air fryer? What's going on?
I could, like, try and revisit that conversation, you know, every now and then.
Get him on,
we have a very brief interaction, but I'll see what I can do. I mean,
that'd be so joke, honestly.
Just have a little, cooking episode with Mayhem Loren, like.
Well, Tom's got cooking background, hasn't he? You're, yeah. Italian, you automatically know about cooking.
My dad's a chef.
There you go.
He worked in the Savoy, innit?
Food. Did he? Well, there we go. All right. I mean, I don't think I'm going to come through with this, but I'll give it a good go.
Fuck it. Do it. Why not?
Mm.
It's just the... Yeah. Do it.
But yeah, Soul Assassin.
We spoke into the universe. Now it's got to work out somehow.
And... talking about the Eminem thing, are we going to discuss dramas around that?
What the fuck?
Well, Eminem.
The Melly Mel thing.
And the Game. He went on both of them on that track.
Yeah, but the Game, fuck the Game, I don't know. Like, I like, he's an okay guy, but, and his bars are okay. He said there was a, what did he do? Was it, I can't remember how it all started, but.
Do you want me to start? Do you want to do it?
Yeah, I don't know about it.
I'm fucking...
So, Eminem recently released a track, an Easy Mill song called The Realist, and he went in on The Game and Melly Mel. Now, The Game did a series of interviews last year where he was like gunning for Eminem, saying he doesn't get played in the clubs or in the streets and he's only good because he's white. And then Melly Mel was like, did a couple of other interviews, and he was like, beating Eminem in a battle would be the easiest thing I've ever done. And I think it was because he was pissed because Eminem came in fourth or fifth on Billboard's greatest rappers of all time, and Melly Mel came in 48th or something.
Right.
And yeah, so Eminem kind of, everyone was kind of waiting for a response. Eminem kind of came with this track and went in on both of them, kind of like told The Game the only reason your tracks are being played in the club is because you still perform there. Melly Mel, he kind of shouted out the old school crew, gave a nod to them, but said, you know, like, we've lost Melly Mel's brain to steroids. And basically, and then Melly Mel came back with a diss track, which was just embarrassing, and he got completely blown apart.
Awkward. Eminem raps like a fucking robot. I mean, he might as well be dead and have an AI generated fucking voice now. like he's been rapping like a fucking robot for 10 years. Like, look, he should have retired
when he was
in, like, 2010, and yeah, like, focused on Shady Records. He signed Griselda. That's fucking incredible. But, like, there was a fucking Conway the Machine tune, and Eminem ruined it. Imagine Eminem, yeah, like, big fucking, like, one of the most important rappers in the past fucking 20 years or whatnot. You know, like, the first, like, white rapper to do this, like, not be a fucking corny person. Well, he is a corny person now. He's, like, I feel like with Eminem, like, he's trying too hard to be the person he used to be, and he's a fucking 40-something-year-old, like, and it just comes across as just, 50. I don't know. I don't want to sound like a hater, but, like, he should just pack it in now and focus on fucking signing decent rappers, because, like, he raps so, he's like, he just raps like a fucking robot. Doesn't matter what he's saying, bro. Like, if I'm listening to, like, the beats that he raps on as well, not for me. And, like, what he's saying might be sick, and you can do all this multi-syllable ebbity-get-abbity-get bullshit, like, but, like, I ain't hearing that. All I can hear is just some fucking, like, fucking Plankton's wife, bruv. '97 Eminem only, bruv.
Right, I mean, my hip-hop confession, we were going to do hip-hop confessions, but seeing as everyone's kind of always busy at the moment, we get to sit down together. My hip-hop confession is I always have, and I always will, hate Eminem. I know lyrically he's good. Well, old Eminem, great. New Eminem, questionable. I'm glad the new Eminem is questionable, because I feel like people are catching up to my way of thinking. But he does something to my brain. I can't listen to it. So this response track that he did, I got about 5 seconds in. I was like, nope. But yeah. I find the whole thing a little bit embarrassing. You're all like, Eminem's in his 50s. Melly Mel must be like, what? Late 60s? Grow the fuck up.
Yeah.
But then, I don't know, like, then you got to look at it from a different angle, like, because you got, it is corny the way they're going at each other and stuff. And one is younger and one is considerably older, but they're both still old. But yes, the culture of it is someone talks shit, then you get them, like, you have a go at them. Do you know what I mean?
I get.
It's the competitiveness. But the thing is that you should know your place. Like, if you have, like, an 80-year-old boxer next to a 50-year-old boxer, the 80-year-old boxer knows he could have been tough as fuck. He could have been, right?
Yeah.
But the 50-year-old boxer is going to break his jaw and maybe kill him. So, like,
you can just, good analogy.
Do you know what I mean? That's the thing, though. You give praise where it's due. If you feel sour about someone and how their race and this, that, and the other, then maybe you have to check yourself a little bit before, or speak, or maybe have them conversations in private. So when you speak publicly about it, you're more informed in order to articulate that. Do you know what I mean? As opposed to jump on a track as someone who's you know, touted as the best battle rapper ever or some, you know, commercially or whatever, in a manner that's derived from 70s breakbeat rap. Do you know what I mean?
It's evolved so much.
You're rapping from a battle perspective that was late 70s, early 80s, and that's not going to go against someone who was rapping from mid to late 90s and onwards. It was getting at, you're not going to win, so you just have to fall back. As an older, he'd look up to you regardless, but if you're there talking shit about him, he's not going to look up to you, so you have to fall back. Yeah. You have
one
to
be like orders.
You have to be like, one of those respectable guys.
For sure.
I hear what you're saying, man. What I'm going to say on Eminem is, like, I respect him because he has made some really good music, but so it's a weird one because he's the same person at the end of the day. He's the same fucking person. It's still Eminem, innit? But, like, mate, like, he's a completely different artist as to what he was in the 90s, and yeah, he just needs to fucking just pack it in, bruv. Like,
yeah, I think so. I don't think he should have went to Melly Mel. I don't think he should have done that.
I think that's kind of weird. Like, he'll just go for anyone. It's almost like he's like clamp. I don't know. He's just trying too hard to be relevant and shit. Like, the thing with Eminem, yeah, like, I think there's like he's got such a hardcore fan base. He's got a very Yes Men fan base where they will just lap up anything he releases, isn't it?
It's mental. I worked with someone, right? Obviously, I'm a hip-hop guy, right? And there was a guy that worked in the kitchen when I was working in this pub, and he's like, yeah, I know, I like rap music too. I said, rap music. Like, who'd you listen to? And I'm like, oh, I listen to this person. Who'd you listen to? Eminem. Anyone else? No. That's it. And I'm like, okay, and it's literally Eminem, and then, you know, a conversation happened, you know, I rapped, da, 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 da. And then he's rapped, and he's starting to rap, and all he's just Eminem, he's just rapping like Eminem. They're like, when Eminem invented that phrase Stan, it's the majority, like 90% of his demographic.
Yeah, they're all Stans. Yeah, it's crazy how that'll be in the Oxford fucking dictionary. Mm-hmm. In our like lifetime, I reckon, and he coined that term. And
yeah,
it's funny how the majority of his fan base are actual stans. Like, you think about this, what the tune? If you listen to the whole song, like, Eminem needs to just be like, "Bro, man, the they're my fans. The person that I rapped about who fucking like." Fucking drove himself off a fucking bridge with his pregnant wife in the boot of a car because I wouldn't fucking answer his letters. They're 90% of my listeners. Shit. Maybe that's why he's still rapping then, because he doesn't want any fucking blood on his hands. I don't know. Well, that's a different angle. I never thought about that before. Respect to Eminem for like reducing the fucking death toll in America.
He's saving lives out here.
Yeah, he's actually saving lives.
What a guy.
I heard that a soldier went up to Eminem and asked for his autograph, and he replied and said, that'll cost you $35.
You're lying.
Nah, that's just what I heard. I don't know, man. I saw it on the internet. It must be true.
I seen something on Instagram, right? And it was this guy. Fuck me, I don't know who he was, right? It was like an Alchemist fan, like an Alchemist super fan. And he had like two pages, like two swipe pictures worth of up and coming projects for Alchemist. And on one of those projects was an Eminem project.
Right.
So with the Alchemist.
That's sick. Well, they used to work together.
Did my friend. Chrissy Cuts, Chris P. Cuts, he's from London. He used to speak to Alchemist and help him out when he used to come to England and stuff like that. And he brought something up to Alchemist's room and he's giving it to him and stuff. He goes, oh, you just missed Marshall. So Chris was like this far away from meeting Eminem, never met him. How mad is that? Mad. And that was when he was the guy as well. That was when it was like peak time fucking craziness.
I don't know how I'd feel about Alchemist. What, so the Alchemist and Eminem doing
he was his
now, or
was
this
Alchemist was Eminem's DJ for like years, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I remember the Tim Westwood TV fucking like 10 minute thing in like 2009, and Alchemist was there spinning all the beats and shit. Like they worked together quite a bit,
DJ.
So what are you saying that they're working on something now, or was that back then?
No, now someone said there was there's like an Alchemist fan guy that was on Instagram, and he had a picture of the lists of projects that the Alchemist is working on right now. And one of the projects on the list was Alchemist and Eminem.
I don't know how I feel about that. Alchemist wasting his time, because it's just going to come out and it's just going to be horrible. It's just going to be him like making sounds and standing in like.
You're going, what was that?
Like, you know those weird sounds he makes when he you know weird, what I mean,
what is weird little ad libs and shit.
Yeah, just I'll tell you.
I want to know who the Alchemist is planning on working with, because there's an old sweatshirt Alchemist album floating around on the internet for the past 2 years and no one can find it.
There's this is a different, all right, hang on, up, so there's an upcoming project list. This is a different one to what I saw, but like there's also a rumors list as well, a possible unconfirmed, and the Eminem one isn't on there.
Should we vote for them? Who would
you mean?
Go on,
who you want, or you want Alchemist to work with?
Yeah, I think we should vote with who we're interested in, because right now I'm not feeling the Eminem idea.
Nah, I mean, these ones seem all right. Like,
didn't we just do that on a podcast?
Yeah, we said Nines or something.
Oh yeah.
I said Trelly and Sonny Jim.
Let me
Trelly, man. He's made a few tunes with the Alchemist, but they never got released, and now he just works in a fucking a restaurant in Sheffield. I'm going to Sheffield tomorrow, actually. I've got set tomorrow. Let me just plug this thing real quick. Not like that. Like fucking, by the time this episode comes out, it already would have been and done, innit? But I'm going to Sheffield tomorrow to do a set. Fucking Lil J every day. Big up Lil J. Fucking CL Brooks going to be there. CZF Baby. Jack Dan's. One Jack. Fords. Fucking, yeah, Bear People. Like, it's going to be sick, man. But I'm going to go there. I know, like, I don't know, man. Maybe I'll bump into Trelly. Don't know. If he isn't wearing his sunglasses, I won't recognise him.
He's probably got, I reckon, you know, he's got these really massive glasses.
They're like that, like, fucking.
I reckon.
He's like that,
I reckon,
bro.
He's got really small eyes, like, really tiny, like.
Yeah.
Like, spider eyes, like here.
CL Brooks was my, I think, was my Alchemist dream team.
That would be fucking sick. That would.
I said like Sonny Jim or Jugs or someone, didn't I? Something sat on the fence and said that.
Yeah. But as long as it's not Eminem, I don't care.
Old Sweatshirt. I need to hear that, bro. Old Sweatshirt and the Alchemist. Man.
They'll do it. Yeah, they'll definitely do it. I think that's on the list.
I think it's been and done, but like Earl is like one of them rappers who will just like make music and just not fucking release it. So he'll perform. If you go and see him live, bro, like the majority of what he's playing is like some unreleased shit. Like,
remember that Gang Green album?
Huh?
Do you remember that?
What was that?
Gang Green. It's not our special. Who was on that? Is it Oh No? Or who was it?
Gang Green. Yeah. Uncle Mick's phone. I hope he's Googling and not talking to someone on WhatsApp.
No, he's looking at pornography.
I'm trying to find where Trillian works.
He's trying to find out what Lizzo's team did with her bananas. With those.
Hey,
bananas.
Yo.
Yeah. What's that about?
Gangrene. Yeah, who was it? Alchemist.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, that was like. Alchemist and Ono.
Yeah, that was sick.
Ono Capone.
No. Oh, no, as in Mad Libs. Is it Mad Libs, brother?
Yes.
Yeah. That's the album with Gang Green.
Are we having a tune on the podcast?
Breaking ground over here.
Yeah, man. What, has it never been done before?
Nope.
I don't know that it ever has, but...
What I'm saying is, you make a meaning to piss, man.
Bro, the definition of a piss artist right now, you got a piss artist right now on your fucking podcast.
I mean, it's making me want to go, but I won't be doing that.
Really sorry, guys. I got an ensuite in it. I might as well make the most out of it. You get
that's an ensuite.
Let it out. Have you got any more drips? You shaking?
Drips,
give it a shake
right now, Ellie. I'm not gonna lie. I recorded halfway through when you guys, I don't know, for some strange reason, I thought I could do it on the slide and you guys could keep talking about that little brother. Like, no one would notice. Now I feel really
violated.
Mick, do not edit this out, bro. This is
no, keep it, mate.
This is great.
This is my claim of fame, cuz. Yeah, it's my claim of fame,
bro. It's still going.
No.
Huh? He's washing his hand.
The dragon soup comes out slow.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Didn't wash the hands because I didn't wee on him, innit? That's the rules. Anywho, let's carry on, bro. Hello. Madlib's brother.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, no. Gangrene, innit? They had an album called. There's a few. There was Gut of Water, and then there was Vodka and Ayahuasca.
Yeah, I haven't heard these in years. I'm going to go down a thing later on.
And Gladiator Shit was the one with Cool G Rap. That was a banger. But yeah, it's got like Rock Marciano on it, Prodigy's on there, Evidence.
Evidence is sick.
Yeah.
Evidence, I like Evidence. Evidence is good.
Yeah, evidence is ill. But yeah, that's some shit. People forget about things like that. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
That was like 2010, 12.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Gut of Water was 2010, I think.
I didn't even know. I mean, I haven't listened to a lot of Evidence. I did not know he was going for that long. I didn't know he'd been doing it for
fucking years.
Evidence in dilated peoples.
Yeah.
Really?
So been from like back from the 90s, but he dropped a track, I think it was this year, called Nothing Stays in Las Vegas. It's a really slow track, but it's kind of haunting sounding. It's great. Check that out.
What's the song? You heard Throw It All Away?
Throw It All Away.
That's the one. I think he flipped the same sample as, what'd you call it? Madlib might have used on one of his beat tapes, I think, but he used it just as for himself, and it's a banger. The video's nice as well. It's all like monochromatic in the rain and stuff, and it's chilling. It's nice. He does make some really good music, and his bars are really palatable. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's not too much fucking around. It's just like, yeah.
It is what it is, but you can respect it. Yeah, that whole project, that whole album was great. I think there's a track, I think it's called Raindrops. Brilliant. But he's had a mad life recently.
Is this Evidence?
Yeah, his wife died just pretty soon after they had their child. So he takes his kid on tour with him, his little boy. I think he was two when she passed away. Really, really. Yeah. But he's incredible. Big up Evidence.
Bless him, man. Yeah. Fuck him. One tune I really like by that by Evidence is I think it's called Start the Day with a Beat. That's a really good song. That's a really good song.
We're gonna be adding all of these to the track list.
I think it's called Start the Day with a Beat. It's a good song. He says a bar, he's like, the world's flat as fuck. And then Adlib's like, I don't know. What I'm saying, guys, like, I just like the
funny shit.
I'm funny, bro. Like, see something funny, bro. Like, you guys know Devil Man, you know, like,
hilarious. It's almost like conversational. It's being conversational with it. Like, you can't, like, the robotic people, I think the roboticness doesn't kind of like pull people in. You have to be more conversational.
Yeah.
I was on the phone tomorrow and I did a verse for him.
His phone's ringing.
Mick. Who's Pornhub on? Kicked off again.
Not me.
You're lying.
I'm on D&D, guys. You can't blame me.
I'm on D&D too.
I don't know what that means.
My man for giving me these sunnies. I forgot his name. At my last show, some bitch stole my sunglasses. So I'm at my mate's yard at an after party, and that Verve's there and stuff. And this girl, I'm sat next to her on the couch. Yeah, we're just jamming, playing tunes, fucking just you know, shooting the breeze and that. And she goes to me like, "Oh, do you want to see a bull mastiff? Do you want to see a video of a bull mastiff attacking an old lady?" I was like, "No, what the fuck? You're a fucking tap bitch. What's wrong with you, dad?" I'm like, "What the fuck?" And like, it's weird because like an hour and a half ago, her and her mate were like, "Oh my god, like you're amazing. Like that was so sick." It was I was supporting Trumendous. You know Trumendous from High.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's sick, man. So they came to see her and they stuck around for Zanny. You know what I mean? So, but then she said that and I was like, "You're fucking weird, man." So I got up and just borderline just like fucking collapsed, but I steezed it out in it. Like I fucking just sort of got off the sofa and just sort of like stumbled onto the ground. I was like, "All right, I'm posted here now." But I think my sunglasses fell out my pocket. She nicked them. So you're a fucking dickhead for that. And you're weird as fuck. And you're repping my shades right now. And that pisses me off. I don't know. Me personally, I need to wear sunglasses when I'm performing because I can't deal with like, I've got to do that. I've got to have my eyes closed only because like I can't look at people when I'm rapping. Like it really puts me off. Like
you're in safe company. The Velour Falcons love sunglasses indoors. That's part of their identity.
I've got mine here. Mine are here.
Go on, get your sunnies out. Mick, you've got to double up. Bro. Get some sunnies over there, fucking frame.
Yeah, I got all my sunnies in the car.
I'm so blind, I can't wear sunnies.
And you, Ellie.
I haven't got any because I'm so blind. I need to get some contacts, and then next time you're on, we will just all wear sunglasses. Hang on,
you should wear sunglasses. That's what you've got to do. I got these as replacements, but like, they just don't work the same, man. You can see right through them.
I think for the purpose of the podcast, which is mainly an audio platform, so no one can actually see any of this, I think they're great.
We're all wearing sunglasses right now. For everyone listening on Spotify, we're all wearing sunnies indoors. We're off a bean right now. We're hiding the dinner plate eyes.
No rules. Right. What's next?
We do games or are we still chatting?
The whole reason why like we got on the pod was to talk to you about your project, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about Mush.
Let's talk about Mush. First, let's talk about the artwork.
The artwork. Okay, so that was originally, I made that in 2019 and sold some sweatshirts. It's not fair. I worked at Lush for a couple of weeks in it and like it was fucking awful. I was working making the bath bombs and like you had to hit a specific target. I fucking did not hit that target. Unreal, bro. You have to be a robot. You have to be AI. You have to be like present day Eminem to be making them bath bombs, bro. Like, yeah, I got sacked from that shit. Made some sweatshirts. It's the old Lush logo. It says, but I switched the L with the M. And that's a word that's like used like nationally in it. That's a word that everyone uses. I just thought, you know, it's nice in it. I sold a couple sweatshirts back then. Yeah, sold some sweatshirts back in like 2019, 2020. And then I just put it on ice. And then I thought, fuck it, I'm going to make some T-shirts in it for the summer and that. Like, so I made a couple prototype ones. Everyone's like saying, like, "Yo, that T-shirt's sick. Like, where can I get it from?" Even walked past Lush in Bournemouth and they were like, "Yo, that's so cool." Like, they wanted to put my thing in their shop, which is kind of cool. It kind of like, ironic really, the fact that like not like Lush is like as a corporation want to work with me, but that one particular store in Bournemouth would be like, yeah, I want to rep that shit. So that's where the artwork come from. The album, I was at one of the open mic nights and I was fucking drunk as fuck. And I'd already spit like all my like the ones that I'd had memorized. So I went on my notes app. I know it's like if you're at a live show or whatnot, or you're at like an actual set, you don't get out your phone and start reciting bars and that. But I was like, fuck it. It's an open mic. I feel like you can get away with doing that, you know, like, because you want to try something new every now and then, you know, and that's the best opportunity to try something that you're not 100% confident on. Is that an open mic? So I was scrolling down and I found this verse that I wrote in 2021 and I was like, oh shit, yeah, I forgot all about these. Yeah, let me spray that. I sprayed it. I said the first two bars and I got a wheel up because everyone that was there was going mental. They were like fucking cracking up and everything, like screaming, got a wheel up. And then I did it a second time. And then on like the 12th bar, I got another wheel. So that said to me, I was like, right, well, I need to fucking record this now. So I went to Safe and Sound Studio on Ashley Road in Poole. Hold tight them. They got the fucking sickest setup, man. So cool. Safe and Sound Studio on Ashley Road in Poole. While I was there with Joe King, my producer, and yeah, I went and recorded that, and I was with a couple people like Cable, hold tight Cable, and Zello as well, hold tight him, and fucking that's my brother, man. I was in the studio with them lot, and while I was just sat on the settee in the studio, and I was just like I think I was saying to you guys earlier, like with me, like I'll go like a month without writing anything and then I'll have tunnel vision and then just spill out all these fucking verses and shit. So I wrote track 2, 3, and 4 on the day at the studio, recorded that shit, boom, like that with that. But then I re-recorded it a couple times. So the one that's on Bandcamp now as it's like the third recording of it. The one that I sent you, Cosm, I think was the first recording, maybe the second, but the roughest one. But yeah, that's the EP, and I put it on Bandcamp. It's £40.40. The reason for that is to make people want to buy the Mush T-shirt for £20, because if you buy the T-shirt, you get the EP for free. A lot of people telling me, oh, where can I get that T-shirt, rare. So it was almost like a social experiment in a way as well. Like, oh, how much, like, do you really want that T-shirt? Okay, well, it's there now. Like, go cop it. That shit will end up on all streaming platforms once I have Freelance Pharmacist, which is a project that me and Joe King have been working on for like 2 years now. Just like on and off, fucking made like, I don't know, we just keep stacking up tunes and that. He keeps sending me beats whenever I've got time to go studio, go around someone's yard or whatever, like we'll just lace it up. So yeah, I was stacking up on that. Once that releases, I'm either going to drop Freelance Pharmacist on Bandcamp or I might drop it on OnlyFans. When I drop that, the Mush EP will go on all streaming platforms, and that's the method I'm going for. Is so like the shit that I've got like currently, it exists. If you want to go get that, Bandcamp is the way forward, man. I think that's the only fucking streaming platform which is fair on the artist, because you know the days of like CD and shit, like it's over, man. That's dead and buried, man. Streaming platforms, like you get like 0.0004 pence per stream on Spotify and iTunes and shit, and that's good for your portfolio. I feel like I might have rushed into it a little bit and I should have put more stuff out on all the streaming platforms to make me more accessible so people can really catch a wave and understand who I am and what Zanny Dyer is. But yeah, I've just done that. I'm still gonna drop shit on Spotify and that. I've got fucking another project that I've been working on like couple years, fucking prehab. The thing is, like, Well, I say a couple years, but the way that I work is like, Cosm, I said it to you like today or yesterday with the verse, like, no deadlines, bro. Like, I don't fuck around with deadlines, bruv. Like, when I get it done, I get it done, innit? I'm in no rush, innit? I'm in no rush. And I'll drop it when I feel like, well, when I feel like it, really. Maybe Joe King isn't happy about that. He's never expressed his feelings to say that, like, nah, fucking release that shit, Dylan. What are you doing? But yeah, like, I'm comfortable with just like fucking doing it when I do it. When I go to Sheffield tomorrow, like, only two of the fucking songs that I'm gonna perform are actually released anyway. So it's like, but with the way that I rap so slowly anyway, like, whoever's listening, they're gonna be listening. You know, I'm gonna be saying what I say, fucking punchlines, making people laugh and stuff. I'm finally at a level where I feel comfortable in my own craft. And I've got to give fucking big props to Verb T for that. Mm. Like, since he moved down to Bournemouth and started putting on these open mics, like, he's really, like, helped me with my stage presence. Not on, like, a personal level, like, him, like, telling me, like, what to do and stuff, but, like, the fact that he's just throwing on these nights and, like, I'll jump on the mic, like, all sheepishly and spray a 16 and, like, the people, the audience, like, they like it. It's the validation, has made me feel more confident in myself, which is why I'm travelling up to Sheffield tomorrow morning on my ones and just going to do what I do. I just feel comfortable in myself at this point now. And I knew back then that I wasn't 100% ready, which is why I never really fucking forced myself to push things out or set myself a deadline, because I knew that I wasn't ready in myself. Mm. Now that I am, I'll just get it fucking done when I feel like it.
I think you'll be surprised how quickly you catch on and how quickly your sound catches on, to be fair. So when you go up tomorrow, make sure you network with loads of people, innit?
Yeah.
I think
that's the aim.
I think your style is very, like I said earlier, it's palatable. Like, it's of the moment. Do you know what I mean? And I think that people can catch on to it. It's, do you know what I mean? It's timely at the moment. So, like, you'll meet a lot of people, like-minded people that you can start building relationships with at a young age and then kind of progress with. So I think that, yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah, but there's a fair few artists that are on the bill that, like, I listen to on a daily basis, you know, like, I mean, Jack Dance, for example, CL Brooks, you know, Sleazy F, fucking One Jack and Fords as well, man. Like, they're like,
yeah, but they're not fucking sick, these people, bro. You have to understand, like, these people are just people. They're like, they're not these big massive do you know what I mean? Like, it's mad how we're like, we come up in like UK hip hop and these people are huge like this, and then you meet them and talk to them and they're just normal, and then they rate what people rate what you do, and it's just like, you're there.
That's how I've always viewed it, really, with like, yeah, since I started releasing music, I think it was once I went to Boom Bap Festival, Boom Bap fucking 2016, I went with Zello, went with T-Terms, my boy. Fucking, we were both fresh 18-year-olds. Like, we just turned 18. Went to Boom Bap Festival. It was the last one. You know about Boom Bap, right? Boom Bap Festival.
Was that the one RA played at? A Rugged Man was that?
Yeah, I think that was the year beforehand. I was too young.
Did they do the big Blur showcase with Danny Lover? Was that the one you were at?
Really? Yeah, with Danny. Look, I thought, for some reason, I thought you meant Danny Brown. Big up Danny Brown. Fucking, the one with Danny Lover. Yeah, that was that one.
I think that was the best year. That was wicked, that one.
You were there?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's sick, man. That's sick. Yeah, I remember the first act we saw was Dash. You know Dash?
Yeah.
It's like affiliated with ASAP Mob, innit? And yeah, he's sick, man. Like, yeah, that was a really good weekend. But I realised then, I was like, oh, yeah, they're just people, innit? Like, they're just fucking human beings.
Yeah.
Not like I saw them as fucking like gods or nothing beforehand, but like it really like broke the spell between like an artist and a human being. Ever since then, like I've always like, yeah, like I don't know. They're just peers, innit? They're just my peers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, like, big up to them, man. Like, credit where it's due, you get me? So I fucking, yeah.
Yeah, tomorrow sounds like it's going to be lively. That little lineup sounds dope.
It's going to be a good night, man. It's going to be a good night. I wonder how my reception's going to be all the way, because I've never even travelled further up north than Birmingham.
It's all right at Sheffield, man.
Sheffield's wicked.
Sheffield's cool. Yeah. Like, it's, there's like art everywhere. Like, the people are all right. Like, it's an all right place. If, as soon as you talk to them, it's like they'll go, "Where are you from?" And you tell them where you're from, and they'll go, "Is that near London?"
Yeah. Yeah. They're like fucking Lil J with Day. He's the guy who's putting on the night. Hold tight to him. Doom 2020 shit. Like, fucking. And he's saying fucking, yeah, you from near London? I was like, no, I'm from Bournemouth. And he's like, is that near Southampton? And I was like, yeah, it's like 20 miles down from Southampton. And he's like, how can you be south from Southampton? And that's a valid point, you know? It's a very valid point.
Like, we live on the edge in Bournemouth.
I remember being at an AFC Bournemouth game against West Brom, and they were chanting at us, "You're so far south that you're practically French," and I thought that was hilarious, bruv. Like, I thought that was funny. I'm gonna get ripped the piss out of for my accent, I reckon. But it's cool, man. I'll just fucking be like, "Yeah, baby, that's me, man." Start talking like I'm from Memphis or some shit.
Yeah, make some links. It'd be good, man. Honestly, yeah.
Yeah, networking and that. Yeah, like fucking.
All about that.
Yeah. Fucking yeah, man. That's what I'm doing it for mainly, is to like network with people. And there's people like Fords who like, and Jay as well, like. You know, like we've been like sort of like mates for like a good few years and stuff, but we never met each other in real life. Like, weird, isn't it? Like, so we're finally gonna meet, and it's gonna be cool as fuck. Like, nah, I'm gonna feel comfortable, man. I'm gonna feel comfortable. I don't know. Maybe I'll get off the coach and be like, "What the fuck is going on there? Like,
you probably,
where am I?"
You might do
hills.
You just go in and you do your thing and you network and you chat and you. Kill it, and yeah, worth it.
Yeah, 100%. That's what I'm going for. I just got to come correct, innit? I can't get too fucking. Because Ellie, you were saying earlier about when we were talking about Prince Kong, and he was like too drunk to record and everything. I feel like you were touching up on the subject where like you got to curve the high where you drink enough to feel confident. But then if you drink a little too much, all of a sudden you can't fucking do shit. Yeah. So I've got to really balance myself. I can't go too hard until after my fucking set.
Are you going
to set? You do what the fuck you want, but try to keep it to the point you can actually do your thing.
Are you going to rock the belly?
Huh?
You going to rock the belly?
Rock the belly. Nah, I'm going to rock this, man.
Fucking, too
hot
right now, isn't it?
No,
this mate. Fucking.
We did a show in Bournemouth, and it was who was it? Me, Mick, Last Elect.
So like Snips and Metro.
Fucking hell, you're talking about that.
The one that Mel's put on.
What? Look, what's that? What's that? What's that reaction for?
I was off my. Head, bro.
So like, to preface this, right, it was on a bank holiday weekend, I think it was in August, right? And
it was King of Kings. It was
it's the same day as this big skate competition called Clash of Kings at King's Park. Clash of Kings. That was the other thing. But yeah, there's like a skate competition. A lot of people have like dealings with the skate community, have dealings with the music community. So they're like, they go there all day, they drink all day, do their thing, and then they came to the gig at night, innit? So that's when you kind of arrived with your entourage and that, with your like ski jacket and the fucking ski mask and shit.
Yeah, that was a fucking crocheted fucking balaclava with cherries on the cheeks.
Yeah.
I lost that the same weekend.
Oh, no.
RIP the baddie.
Yeah, mate. Well, the thing is, it's one of one. So when I see someone wearing that, I'm snatching that and running away. Yeah, hold tight fucking Blemish Designs. She made that. She made that crochet bally. Yeah. Not specifically for me, but I was like, I need that. And I rocked that for a good... I'm glad I wore it and there's evidence of me rocking that shit. Because like I say earlier, like, you know, I wear shades and stuff because I don't like the fact that I don't want to see people. So if I wear a balaclava as well, it makes me feel a bit more comfortable as well because, like, you can't see my face. So it's...
Do you remember the open mic?
Pardon?
Do you remember the open mic?
Was I, like, grabbing the mic and not actually spitting?
No. But do you remember the incident?
I remember the... Yeah. That was
Can you give me a rundown of your take on the incident?
All right, so basically, my boys, they're from fucking Exeter, and they were down for the they're down for a bit innit, and they come through, and they wanted to play some of their tunes, on the open mic, so yeah, they went and done that, and then someone turned around and been like, fucking well. Mate, it's not your set, lad. It's a fucking open mic. And then, pardon me. Yeah, and then a little fucking thing happened. Because I was mates with the pair at the minute. So it was weird to see them sort of clash heads like that.
It was me. It was me who had a go.
It was you. Oh, I thought it was Marcus.
No, it was me.
It was both, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So they come on. They start putting their music on. Yeah. And then... they started getting all aggy. Then, like, I was there talking to them, and they were, like, trying to do their thing. Marcus is fucking shouting at them at this point, saying, doing all this mad shit to them, like, cutting off their heads and all this, that, and the other. And then I'm, like, I'm there talking, trying to, like, and they're starting to push me and shit. And I'm, like, I'm not having
really?
It. I'm, yeah, and I'm pushing them back. I don't give a fuck. But the thing is, whole time, I'm doing it like Jerry Springer, and I've still got the mic in my hand like this. So I'm fighting. Not fighting. I'm pushing.
I could just hear you. I couldn't see you. I was like the other side of the crowd, and all I could hear was just you on the mic going like, "Don't push me! Don't push me!"
Like, fuck off! Like that again. Aggie, we've been pushing them away.
And
then I turned around. Right, the funniest thing was is that Marcus is obviously he's always going to back me. I'm always going to back him. Whatever. The funniest thing is I turned around like that, and our DJ at the time, Evidence, was behind us, who was DJing and had the decks. He ran away. He saw the drama room, took our USB, and ran away. It's funny, like it's cool, whatever. Like some people, the confrontation is not, I don't know, palatable.
Not for them. Yeah, it's not for them. And he flew.
It's just one of them things that you're all in a passionate situation. Everyone is passionate about what they do. If someone clashes, everyone's going to be all like this. And then after about 2 minutes later, they're all shaking each other's hands and sucking each other's dick. Yeah. Not doing that. But then, like, it's just one of those things. So.
All I can recall really is time. I did not think it was as serious as it was. I was like giggling. Because I think, I'm not going to lie, I'll be honest with you, Cosm. I think I spurred him on. Because like them two lads, I'm not going to name their names or nothing. But like, you know, like we're like mates and that. Made a couple of tunes with one of them. And they were like, oh yeah, should we just go and do a thing? And I was like, I'm off my head in it. I was off my head for my performance, bro. I did not, bro. It's mad. Yeah. So I was like, go on, do it. Go on. It'll be fine. I did not realize the repercussions. And then when it all kicked off and everything, I was like, well, what the fuck? But I weren't all there at the time. Fucking, what else are I going to say on that situation? It doesn't matter if I don't.
The joke thing was, it's like they afterwards they were all like, you know, they're being super super cool with us, and I was like, whatever, because I'm sober, like I'm like whatever.
Oh, was you?
Yeah, oh, I've been sober for like 10 years, but like
that's so it. Cool. Congratulations. Fucking mad.
But like I'm cool, and then he's like, oh, add me on Instagram, and da da da. And the funny thing was, is we're already friends on Instagram. Oh. I didn't even know who he was. It's just mad. Like, I'm sure they're cool and they're cool people and stuff like that. Just had an intense moment in the club. It was funny.
I think they were just so keen to like fucking just do their thing in it. Like,
yeah.
I think I'm partially to blame for that, but like.
It was jokes. But the game, we were talking about a game before we got on air, a previous game that we'd done, and Mick pulled up the your choice because we asked you to do the choice. Well, you wanted to do it, really, innit? So the game
is the game.
Where the fuck is it?
You take an album of your choice and you have to say in order off the top of your head the track list. And you picked what? What did you pick?
Yeah, I picked Delusional Thomas by Mac Miller. My biggest inspiration. I listened to that album and I was like, yeah, this is how I want to rap. Man started a verse saying, pathological liar, went to my girlfriend's house and set a dog on fire. And I was like, yeah, that's a bit of me, that. Another verse on that album, he starts off and he says, to be honest, I'm a walking contradiction. I just thought that was bare clever, bro. Because it just opens a fucking world where you could just say whatever the fuck you want. Do you know about Jester's Privilege? You heard of Jester's Privilege before?
The idea of it.
So Jester's Privilege is a jester can like mock and just take the piss freely because he gets away with it because nothing that he says actually matters.
Mm.
And that's like my mantra, really. Jester's Privilege, I'm running on that. So yeah, Mac Miller, Delusional Thomas. Okay, let's go. Track one. Larry.
Yeah.
Track two, Halo.
Yeah.
Track three.
Cosm got five, so you got five to beat, I think. Is that right?
Fucking hell. Ah.
Yeah.
I know track four for sure.
Yeah, track this game's rough.
I'm a slip on track three. Hang on. Wait. Can you still see me?
I can't look it up. We can't see.
I'm joking.
Can you see him?
I'm joking. No. I'm not looking. So it's Larry, Halo, fucking shit.
I don't know.
It's one of my least favourite on the album, isn't it?
Bypass that one. Come back to it afterwards.
No.
Track four.
Can only, Bill. Okay.
Yeah, track I'm gonna need that track three.
Yeah. We'll get back to that. Vertigo.
Yes, yeah, well done.
All right, and then track four is Bill featuring Earl Sweatshirt and Bill, I think. Not like that. Does that give me bonus points?
No, that doesn't matter.
Just need the name.
Track five has Dash on it and it's called Does track five have Dash on it? Can you give me? Are you allowed to give me that clue?
Oh man, I don't. This doesn't have the artist on it.
I want to see. Oh man,
you just need the names.
Do more research, bro. Fucking track five. So it goes: Larry, Halo, Vertigo, Bill, Libido.
For track five,
it's not, is it? Libido's like seven or six, isn't it?
So yeah, it's not Libido.
No, wait, stop. Sorry to interrupt. It's got Dash on it. So let me think. My whole fucking life is a science experiment. Nah, fuck it. I'll fucking throw him up.
Oh no, you're going out for now. Oh, it's cool. 72.
Oh, I would not have got that. I forgot. Nah, 72. I don't listen to that one. That's my one of my least favorites on the. Can I list the rest?
Yeah.
Libido.
No.
There's another really good one which is back to back with Libido. I can't remember it. What's it called?
Oh, mate, you've got the Jesuits, you've got Dr. Thomas.
Oh, that's a good tune.
And then you've got Libido.
In that one.
Cool, yeah, Libido's track 8, and then there's two more.
Grandpa Used to Carry a Flask was the last tune on the album.
Yeah, and track 9 is called Melvin.
Great album. Good effort. Biggest inspiration to me, that one. Delusional Thomas. I really hope it gets released onto Spotify, because it's the 10-year anniversary of it on Halloween. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember like Halloween 2013, and I know this is like wrong, because you listen to an album start to finish, innit? But because you don't read a book and just pick out page 24 and read that, and then go to 68 and then go to page 3 and then. But I listened to, I remember when I first saw, like, the album got released, I was on SoundCloud on my computer. And, I listened to the second track, Halo. And, yeah, that Pathological Liar, went to my girlfriend's house, set a dog on fire. And I heard that and I was like, wow, this is incredible. His voice is all pitched up and shit. You can find, like, pitched down versions of it if the voice is annoying. But, like, I think that mixtape was really a turning point for me. Like that was, if I'm gonna like say anyone inspired me, I'd say Mac Miller's Delusional Thomas mixtape is the reason why I rap the way I rap. Just say fucking outlandishly crazy, dumb, stupid shit just to get a reaction out of people.
Nice. Yeah. But you could have named all the tracks.
Couldn't name all of them, mate. I listened to it in a while. Like, I'm a bit embarrassed that I don't remember the track name for Dr. Thomas, because that's one of my favourites. Dr. Thomas, Libido and Halo, they're the top three out of the... There's 10 tracks on that album. They're my favourite ones. But yeah, funny lyrics.
Okay. I tapped up before I even started, so don't be embarrassed. I think as
well, playing?
We were saying before that I was saying, like, I don't really listen like that anymore. I don't really listen all the way through. I pick tracks out of projects and stuff, which is a shame, really.
Do you listen to it all the way through and then pick your favorite out?
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah.
I do that too. I'll listen to it all the way through once or twice, and then I'll pick out my favorites after that. And then I'll go back to the album and maybe, you know, find some hidden gems and that. Like, yeah,
like a rediscovery, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I do nowadays anyway.
Really good albums, I don't know the names to the songs. Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I'll listen to the whole thing back to back and I'll be like, cool. Like, I know I've listened to Kendrick Lamar albums over and over again because they're very good. And I've listened to People Under the Stairs albums back to back because they're very, very good. But I couldn't tell you the names of the songs. Like, there's the odd one that really well known, you know, songs and shit that I know the names of. But they're whole projects to me. They're a meal. Do you know what I mean? They're a 15 course meal. So it's like, I don't know. I can't tell where one starts. I don't know the names, so I don't know.
I find as well, since like we've moved to the digital era, that it's changed massively and it's impacted that kind of side of things. Like, you know, back in the day when I'd save all my money and I'd go to record stores on a Saturday and spend all my time in there and then spend all my money on it, I'd go home and I'd like analyze every inch, every
You're reading the small print on the back, all rights reserved and who record label and blah blah. Like, I remember like the first album I ever bought with my money I saved off my pocket money. I think I was like 8 years old. I bought American Idiot by Green Day. I was like 8, and I was just like stuck. And I was like, oh, that, like, we were fucking like, on the way home and everything. I was like, oh, Dad, put on track six. And he's like, no, you just listen to it start to finish. Ever since then, it's just been like drilled into my head, like, that's what you do. But like also at the same time, like, I'm guilty. Like when I was younger, like when I was like 13, 14, 15, like if I downloaded an album, I will listen to the shortest song first. For example, Earl Sweatshirt's first album, Doris, I listened to Uncle Al first, produced by Alchemist. It was 53 seconds long because I think there's a thing with my generation and anyone younger than me, we've got a very short attention span. I mean, look at fucking TikTok, for example, bruv. Like, that's why all of my tunes, bro, like, I am never in my entire career, and this is going on the internet, it's public domain, and I'm, mark my words, guys, everyone, I'm never making a tune where I'm rapping for three verses and a hook. I'm never doing that, bruv. Because people get bored, bro. Like, all of my songs, like, I've got a fucking 15-minute set. I'm going to be performing, like, half of my discography, like, in terms of, like, actual, like, laced-down tunes, which are, like, met with a beat and stuff. Like, I've got heaps of fucking verses and stuff, but the majority of my tunes, they don't, like, I'd say two or three go over the fucking two-minute mark, you know?
Are hooks necessary?
Hooks are necessary if you want to. I'm at a stage in my career where I'm just barring for 16 and like maybe I could have like a little two bar hook at the end and repeat it to make it four bars, and like I'm not really creating songs. I'm more or less just rapping over like dusty fucking beats, innit? But like as I grow as an artist, I plan to create songs. Like my end game is to be like a songwriter as well. I would like to like try my luck at that, fucking be a ghostwriter, sorry, ghostwrite shit for like fucking Ed Sheeran or some shit, I don't fucking know. Like, but no, retake my English exams and that and fucking smash it out of the park. And yeah, that's a little pipe dream of mine, because like I don't want to be in the limelight or nothing. I don't want to be some fucking local celebrity, let alone celebrity or nothing. And I just want to make music that's fun. And yeah, I've definitely got to tone it down. I've got a long fucking journey ahead of me because I just like saying provocative shit, making people react and that. But with my style, I think it works well with keeping it short and snappy, because like if I make a song that's like a minute, minute and a half long, you're going to want more, make people crave, you know, so then I'll drop another song. Whereas if you drop a song and it's 4.5 minutes long, for me, it's like, oh, that's a bit of a slog, that, like, fucking hell, like, I've really got a, yo, like, that takes a bit of effort, that does. Because I'm on my phone, mate, screen age, 404, like, get halfway through, and before I know it, I'm on Instagram, so, someone messages me, and then I'm like, I don't even know where I am at, and then I'm like, I'm on Wikipedia, looking at tadpoles and shit, like, I fucking just, yeah, it's because it's right here, it's in my hands, mate. To be honest, lad, guys, my phone didn't even die. I was just like, what's the difference between a birch tree and a fucking and an oak tree? That's what I did. I just lied to you guys. My phone didn't even die. I just got real curious. I just went off on a tangent.
Wow.
Mick does bushes and stuff.
Yeah, just ask Mick. He can tell you.
Mick, speak to me.
Oh, I don't know, mate.
What's the difference between what, an oak tree and a birch tree?
Well, a birch tree's white, innit? But I know that from
Silver. It's silver. I got one in the back of my garden. It's there.
And an oak tree has like different, the leaves that go like that, yeah, and acorns.
They're bigger, yeah, slower growing.
Yeah. Birch is
why are they called acorns and not oak corns?
That's a point.
Yeah, that I can't help you with.
Breaking new ground.
Yeah, like, the etymology.
Zanny Fire out here asking the real fucking questions, bro.
Saying. Oak corns.
Oak corns.
Maybe you should call it that from now on.
Let's all four of us start the movement.
If it's an acorn, shouldn't it be called an ache tree?
Yeah, we call it an ache tree. It's either an ache tree or it's an oak corn, all right? I'm putting my fucking foot down. We're going to start a movement.
So all four of us are going to call it an ache tree and an oak corn.
Nah, it's got to be one or the other, darling. It's got to be one or the other. And I'm feeling more like, because a tree's a tree, innit? But like an acorn, I think we can start calling them oak corns.
Okay, oak corns. All right, and when it catches on, it will be this moment that goes down in history.
Trust me, bro. When this gets put in the fucking
history books.
Yeah, in the dictionaries and shit. We got to get cited for that. We need to be credited, bro.
They'll pull it up. It'll be the future, and they'll put us on like a floating digital screen.
Holograms of us, just like.
Do you know what the best thing is? Not only will that information be captured, it will divert people to this podcast, this episode, and the best thing about it is they will all watch it and see you pissing.
Yeah.
The pissing hologram. Yeah,
they're staying in.
Come on.
Listen. I'm interested in about this game that Mick's got planned. The extra game. What's the real game? What's the real game?
Oh, okay. That's the warm up, was it? Okay.
That was you. Well, you opted for it. You were like, I want to have a go at this. You were just like mad competitive. You wanted to jump on a team.
Cool. So this might. I don't know whether this will work or not. We can cut it out if it doesn't. But I thought we could do like a Spotify monthly listeners Price is Right game.
Yep, all right. What does that mean?
Cool. So I was going to I'll pick an artist and then you you don't need to open Spotify. I can look it up. But this is going to be based on monthly listeners, right? So I'm going to start you off with an artist and we'll go around
like higher,
Rob, Ellie, Dylan. Yeah, and then higher or lower. You've got to alternate like... Whoever goes first will be like higher, and then the next person is lower. So you've got to higher or lower than a number before. But you go bust at 10,000 monthly listeners. So we're looking for like real underground
bottom feeders.
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of people that ain't got many.
Yeah, that's so good. But you're going to need. So I'm going to start in the middle. And because you're dropping an album with him tomorrow, I'm going to start with Parky. So Parky's got 5,457 monthly listeners.
Cosm, you're dropping an album with Parky tomorrow? Alright, dig up, bro. Come on, man. Trap midnight, yeah.
Why not? Midnight.
How's that for promo synergy?
We've got slight clash, though. Clash of the Titans.
Yeah, the Falcons have accidentally dropped a single the same day. So it's going to be a mess.
I think that'll do you well. A whole project or a single?
It's just a Falcon single and then a project with Robert Parky.
On the same day?
It's fine.
Breaking new grounds is the third time. Third time this podcast. We've got to make a fourth. We've got to make, because four is a very important number. We've got to make a fourth. I don't know what to do next. Should I just throw a pebble at someone?
It's going to be my terrible game. That's going to be the fourth one.
Yeah.
So do you want to go first, Rob? Are you going to go higher or lower? So you've got to get, what do you want to do? Higher or lower than 5,500 monthly listeners? You've got to pick someone.
I have to pick an artist that's higher than Parky.
Yeah, or lower.
I'll go higher.
You can choose. Okay, cool. So it's got to be above 5,500 and below 10,000.
Monthly listeners.
Yeah.
Holy.
Okay.
I don't want to put him in a prison.
Afraid not. He's lower.
Is it?
Yeah, he's got... Oh, man, everyone's going to be out straight away. This is a shit game.
Do you know what you should have done? Do you know what would have worked better? If you'd have got a list of artists and you'd have thrown them out and we have to guess higher or lower.
Nah, because I wouldn't even know after artists. Guys, when I do this, does my camera go off?
Nah.
Nah, you're good.
All right, good, because I'm only checking my percentage on my phone in case it dies, because my phone died while it was charging, which is weird.
You need a new charge.
By checking your heat, that's what it was.
By checking your percentage, are you on Spotify looking up listeners? Oh, man, you're already. Do you want to go, Ellie, do you want to go next?
So I've got a guess.
Yeah, maybe this is a shit game because you've got to get left.
I quite like it. I think it's just that
dumb. Should we keep rolling?
Keep rolling.
Well, it does mean you've got to get less than. So Axel's got 1,250 monthly listeners. So you've got to name somebody with less than that.
Hang on.
It's got to be less, not more.
Cosm did higher, so the next person goes lower.
Okay.
Lower than who?
Than Axel Holy with 1250.
Oh, this might be a bit of a risk. I'm going to go, and I'm going lower, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm going, actually, no, it might not be a risk. Oh, I feel like I'm dissing them, and I'm not.
Weird, isn't it?
Mate, just say my name, bro.
Yeah, there's three people right now looking at you.
I'm gonna go. Oh, this is could be quite tight. I'm gonna go Cutter Chase.
Cutter Chase.
I don't know who this person is.
You do.
I don't.
You do, because you've heard stuff off there.
Oh, unlucky. Oh, mate, it's just higher. It's 1828.
Do you know what? Wow.
I'm glad, because big up Cutter Chase.
Yeah, isn't he?
No,
send me some stuff, please. I don't want to be ignorant anymore.
Go on the playlist. If you listen to the playlist every time, you will know who Cutter Chase is.
No.
Oh, I've gone blank.
Oh. Yeah, little glitch. We good now?
Yeah, are we all back? Yeah,
I'm back. Ellie?
I mean, can...
Oh, yeah, we can't see you.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, my whole thing's crashed, so I don't know if it's working or not. Is it still recording at your end?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It says it's recording.
Okay, I'm not going to do anything. You just have to not see my face, which isn't a bad thing.
Cool. You going next, Granny Dyer?
Granny Dyer.
You can go... Yeah, it's got to be above 1,800 and below 10,000.
But go above, it's easy. It's got to be below what?
No, you got to go above 1,800 and below 10,000.
Okay. 1,800. Emmy LaRusso.
Ooh, how do you spell that?
IMMI.
Yeah.
LARUSSO.
Cool. Oh, mate, man, yeah, it's lower. It's 1,700.
He deserves so much more than that, man. He's fucking sick, bro. He's from Sheffield. I don't think he's going to pull up tomorrow, but he's fucking sick. I got a couple beats off of him. That's for the prehab tape as well, actually.
Oh, nice. So, yeah, he's got a tune with Sniff on his last album.
Yeah, no, he's part of Lighthouse, isn't it? Like,
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
Yeah. He's like, he's tight with, like, Trelly and Sniff.
Oh, shit. He's got a Moriarty. Oh, man, I never heard of this guy.
Oh, big up, hold tight, Immy, bro. He's fucking sick. He made
Hang on, what's his name?
Immy LaRusso.
Yeah, he's also on the new Spotify playlist. He did a track project with or was it a track with Neil One?
Yeah, Neil One, the producer. Yeah, and there's a couple bits on there with Sniff on the feature.
Yeah,
he's sick, man. Yeah, big up Immy, bro. Yeah, yeah, it's
no one listens to the playlist. Hold tight yourselves.
Me, bro. Yeah, it's just me, man. Yeah, 77.7 FM, produced by Infamous. That is a great EP. That's amazing, bro. That shit amazing.
Oh, mate. Oh, yeah, he's got Trelly on a 2019 album.
Yeah, Slum Village. Verbs
on some of these. Oh, shit. Nice. So, oh, nice one.
Yeah, Imi's sick, man. He's bare, like, proper fucking slumpy rapping.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
He reminds, like, there's a music video of Trelly and Sniff and Imi from, like, 2017. When I assume that's when he first started, and then there's some stuff out on SoundCloud as well, him and Sniff. There's a tune called Your Sister Bangs, Sniff, and that's a funny tune. But yeah, admitted, it's on YouTube. It's a great music video. It's like one of them ones you're fucking like dying whilst you watch, like you feel like you're slowly passing away, but it's beautiful. It's like you're seeing heaven's gates, bro. It's lovely.
Oh, mate, he's got loads of stuff. I want to get into this tomorrow.
Yeah, he's good, man. He's good. I mean, like, you either like him or you don't like him. He's a very monotone rapper. But he's got some good bars, man. He's got some very relatable bars. He's, yeah, big up Imi LaRusso. I hope I bump into him tomorrow, man. Obviously, he's a Sheffield resident, innit? So,
cool.
Imi.
Yeah. Hold tight,
Imi LaRusso. Seeing as we've been on for rather a long time, Zanny's frozen. I've crashed.
Yeah.
And should we do a little track of the week? And then say what's going on for everyone.
Yeah. Go on then. We gotta wrap this business up.
Yeah, man.
Emily, what's your track of the week?
Mine?
Yeah.
I went with an old one last time, so I'm going to go with a new-ish one this time round. I'm going to go with Lobster Mania 6 by Sonny Jim and Kev Brown off the joint venture album from 2021.
Cool.
Nice. Check that. Sonny Jim's sick. I need to check that one.
Yeah, Kev Brown's a bad band producer as well, so hold tight those two.
Okay.
Dylan, yep. What are you saying? What's your track of the week?
I'm saying Lapis by Vel9. Yeah, sick instrumental, drumless loop, beautiful female rapper, Vel9. I don't know if I'm pronouncing the song right. It's spelled Lapis.
Mm.
She is sick. I've started listening to like more of her other stuff, and the beats that she's like fucking going on as well, hard as fuck, man. Probably my favorite female rapper. Doja Cat as well. Let me just say this real quickly. I'm really looking forward to her new album, man, because she's going in a direction where she's going to be rapping, not like making pop songs, and I think she's a good rapper. So yeah, hold tight Doja Cat as well, but hold tight Vel9. Lapis, that's my track of the week. Mick,
come on, it's cracking.
I'm gonna go track one on Camo Godskin, the Jack Jetson Ill-Informed album.
Yeah,
still need to hear that.
That's, oh mate, it's really album. Good. Yeah, really good.
Really good. I like the one with Skint. You know Skint.
Yeah.
The track with Skint on it is probably my favourite one.
Mm-hmm.
And the one with Verbs as well, Verb T. Oh, 4-0 as well. That's got to be an honourable mention. 4-0 by Verb T.
Yeah.
First verse of that. Shit, yeah. I remember him spitting that on one of the open mics a couple of months ago. The first verse, he spat the first verse from that a few months ago at the open mic. And I was like cracking up because I was like, this is jokes. Like him saying like,
I don't really want to
cut. I look like 35 at least. Like, how come my kids don't think I'm cool, even though I still am? And I just thought, that's really funny. That's very on brand as well. Hold tight, Verb T, bro.
Big up, Verb T.
Shining the light down in Bournemouth, bro. If it weren't for him, like, I don't think I'd be doing the show in Sheffield tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like, he really boosted my confidence on the back of him just trying to fucking showcase talent down there, yeah?
Amy done in a while. My track in the week, track of the week is, it's between the two. It's between Sight Beyond Sight by Verbs, Slips, and Nelson Dialect, or Set Sail. I think I'm going to have to, because the title track to the album is sick, but I think Set Sail was more Falconry, so I like that Set Sail beat. It's
Falconry, I love that.
It's ill, like it's got that vibe to it, so I'll say Set Sail, but the title track gets a massive honourable mention, and like, Slips is like phenomenal producer, like crazy.
I've got to check that, because they're coming to Bournemouth, isn't it? So
yeah, we're supporting them.
Bournemouth.
Is it?
So what it is on the 23rd of September, which is my birthday, me and Mick are supporting Verbs, Slips, Nelson Dialect with Rain, and who else is there? Serbs there as well? Serbs there too?
I think so, yeah. I'm just trying to find it.
Rain's sick. Serbs is sick, man.
Yeah. So this is all Bournemouth lineage in the building, apart from
Yeah, we're in Artex.
Yeah. So like, you got me, old Bournemouth, then we've got Rain, little younger Bournemouth, and then, do you know what I mean? It kind of goes up in age.
Rain is sick. Serbs is sick.
Mm-hmm.
You lot are sick. Obviously, I have seen you guys perform live. Don't remember it. I'm a real savor this moment. I was going to go to the thing anyway, but now that I know that you guys are performing as well, that's going to be a
lock-off. Might jump on a track. September, might get you on a track.
Yeah, we always get someone for a guest verse on saying, so you play cards right.
Oh, yeah, play cards right. You're talking to Danny Dyer, baby. Come on, it's a royal flush each and every time. Come on, yeah, get me on a verse. I'll fucking chuck a 16 on Mush. I'm there, man. I'm there. And Cosm, I'm sorry that I never got round. I recorded that verse and it corrupted. But I was going through some mad shit at the time, and I'm gutted I missed out on that fucking, on the opportunity to be on that album. I remember when the album dropped, I listened to it and I went on a walk on my own. And when the tune came on that I was meant to be on, I was like, I feel real. It's sad right now. I'm in a right now. It's just instrumental outro.
I had that exact same thing on Danielson's last album. I forgot that he sent me a beat and was like, "Oh, I want you. I'm gonna get like three or four guys on this. I want you to do a verse." I was like, "Yeah, cool." And then I completely forgot. And he's such a nice guy. He didn't really like nag me or anything like that. And then I listened to the album and I was like, "I know this beat."
But I'm
gonna do
on that.
I was on the same beat. I was on the same track. And I sent the verse for him, and he said, "Send it to me." And all right, cool. And I forgot because I'm doing so many things at once. He forgot. And then we did the Falcon goodbye on him and didn't turn up on the track. But yeah. So that's what's going on for us. You got your gig in Sheffield.
Yeah.
Where is that too? Shout that out so we know where it is.
Bow Fashions in Sheffield, man. By the time this comes out,
it's happened.
It's already been and done.
History's been made by the time.
I'm going to come back from Sheffield with a few face tats and a fucking and a couple really, really, really great music to be made, man. I'm going to really push the boat out, stick my neck out, and I'm going to make some music with these people, man.
Good.
Yeah, bro.
Nice, yeah, nice.
But yeah, Bow Fashions, be there.
In retrospect, in the future,
be there in 18 hours, okay? By the time this comes out, be there 72 hours ago. Make sure you're there.
If time travel becomes a thing, go back and visit that moment.
Trust me. I mean, this is going to be on the internet, public domain. If anyone's been able to sit through and listen to this, and 200 years from now, they're like, yo, I'm a big fucking Zanny Dyer fan. I'm going to be like Van Gogh, bro.
Van Gogh, bro?
I said Van Gogh for the first time in my life, and it didn't feel right. Van Gogh.
It sounded like you said Van Gogh Pro. Like the...
Lad, you know what? I'm fully winging it, bro. I bought
I linked Bucky in it on my lunch break at work, and I bought a fucking my first ever USB, and then I went to Mel's's about an hour before this and airdropped the beats onto the fucking USB. And then at 5:40 in the morning tomorrow, I'm going to get on the coach. And then at 3 p.m., I'm going to plug my fucking thing into the CDJs. And, you know, like, hopefully it ain't corrupted, you know? Fully winging it. Ain't even bought a fucking coach ticket back yet. I might start a new life in Leeds, in Sheffield.
In Leeds. Leeds,
yeah, fuck it. I'll just find a way. I'm not even going Leeds. I'm going to Sheffield. I might just, like, just walk to Sunderland and...
Fuck that.
Buy a chip shop.
Do it.
With I'll my overdraft. It. Yeah. It would be like Binley's, but it would be Zanny Dyer's. Scranny Dyer's, man.
Scranny Dyer's. Come on.
On that note, we're going to wrap things up because it's mad late. I don't know. You got to get up early. Mix itching from trees and shrubbery. You don't know where Ellie is.
Shot down that birch, baby. Come on.
I'm still getting off the handshake with the goat from earlier. So that's it. Shotgun the Orcs. Love. Danny Dyer. Peace.
Thank you for having us on, boys and girls. Love you guys. Take it easy. EL, lose money, 404 militia. Yeah. AV baby cakes. Come on, mate. Living in 2404, man. 404 era. Lose money. Easy living forever. Love you.
Gone. There you go.
And that's that. Cut that.
I mean, I haven't stopped recording.
Cut the only... pause, Mick.
It's fucking crashed, but we'll edit it at the end.
Yes, people, Ellie here, and I've come to let you know all about our Release Radar Spotify playlist covering all the latest releases in the world of hip-hop over the last couple of weeks. Thanks to everyone who's hit us up so far with new music, and to those who've been listening, enjoying and sharing. I'll be updating this playlist entirely on a regular basis, so to ensure you don't miss out, hit the link in the bio of the Shotgun the Orcs Instagram page, which will take you through to the playlist, but make sure you hit the plus button. I'll be doing the digging so you don't have to. For any music you have coming out in the near future, please let me know. I can be found on Instagram at LEM_C_ and on email at LEShotgunTheOrcs@gmail.com. But please remember, this playlist will only be covering new releases from the date of the current playlist. Now go press that plus button, hit play, and enjoy. Peace. Thank you.